Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo!
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Courtney Cronin. Jonathan Hood with you. Cap is off today. We're open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch this show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this hump day. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Wednesday morning. And Courtney, you know, it's funny. I could just look out to State Street and just be talking about the Bears. And then I look over my right shoulder to the three screens we have here at the old National Bank Studios. And someone is talking about Justin Fields out of nowhere. Like, it could be the Get Up. It could be any of these shows. And they're talking about Justin Fields because it's interesting. There's a number of young quarterbacks that Get Up or First Take can talk about. But there's something about the Bears and what they could be and what Justin Fields could be that gets a slot on one of these TV shows. You've been on these shows for a long time now. I mean, they have many choices, different places to go where they can talk about it. But somehow, some way, there's always time to be carved out for the Bears at Justin Fields.
I think because of the nature of the offseason and the previews that basically go from time that the draft ends all the way through training camp, this is the Bears week on ESPN because Get Up had Orlovsky the other day talking about Justin Fields as an MVP candidate. I believe there was a Bears preview, like an offseason preview. What did they do? Catch you up in 45 seconds if you have been living in a box. That was on SportsCenter. So maybe this is just like the Bears week. Maybe next week we're going to be talking about Trevor Lawrence. Maybe it'll be about Justin Herbert. Like, a lot of quarterback off-season talk because it sells. And now, frankly, it's kind of a boring time in the NFL, but scheduled release tomorrow. So,
oh, yeah. Big time.
Hold on to your boots.
Big time.
It's not one of my favorite days. But maybe I'm in, like, maybe I'm an anomaly on that. But when it comes to Justin Fields, the comments that were made from Luke Getsy last week about him being light years ahead of where he was at this time last year, I think were taken out of context. I think there's a lot of nuance to that. And it's the unknown that creates intrigue and excitement to see whether he can make this jump that Tua made in year three that we saw Jalen Hurts make in his third year and whether he can follow that same trajectory.
Well, here's the thing. As far as your schedule is concerned, if there's going to continue to be Bears talk, you will have no offseason.
Do I have one anyways?
Well, that's your choice. Yeah, you can
is
have
it?
One. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. You could say no, but you never say no.
I'm here today.
Exactly says that. So you can have an off season, sure, you could, but you never say no. So that's really
on
you. I
just got red, and it's like 7, not even 7:05 in the morning.
Well, that's what I do.
Thank
that's
you.
Right. So just consider me your big black mirror. I'm dead, right? Right. That's what I was like. You could say no, and guess what, Courtney Cronin, you don't.
It's true.
So you won't have an off season, and the reason why that you won't is because there's going to be radio shows and television shows that want to talk to you about what could be. I mean, it's one thing that the NFL is 24/7, 365 anyway. This is the monster that's become because nothing beats the National Football League. But on top of that, the NFL fan wants to know what's next. And so let's go back to Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. So you were part of this conversation with Luke Getsy, with the rest of the press. Justin Fields was amongst the least productive passers last year. Are you confident that he can improve? And Coach Getsy said,
the yards that he ran for, a third of those came off of pass plays that were scrambles that he decided to run, which is an element that, you know, we're fortunate to have with him in that position. So, and then it goes to everything, right? Getting the team around him better, and us all being together for another year, and the continuity that we have, and the communication that he and I have, you know, where we were to kind of at the beginning of the season to the end of the season, I think is a lot better, and so we're hoping to build off of all that stuff. I think anytime you can be together with somebody and keep that consistency, there's going to be growth, and he has a lot more growth ahead of him. And we're excited to tap into that.
Courtney, we've talked about this crop of quarterbacks in this past draft versus Justin Fields. And I don't know if it's a ridiculous question or not, but it becomes a talking point of Justin Fields and his skill set versus the quarterbacks that were drafted. And I think that you said that if Fields was in the draft, that he'd be the number one pick, correct?
Of course.
And that's
just based on, I don't think that was even in question.
Yeah. unless you're Mike Tannenbaum or others that think that Justin Fields was expendable and that the Bears should have went with C.J. Stroud or someone else instead. You've heard this.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just, you know, Mike Lombardi, the same thing. Just like, I would have taken one of the quarterbacks in the draft over Justin Fields. And I'm just like, and I'll tell you why that's ridiculous. But again, Luke Getsy talking about evaluating quarterbacks in this draft compared to Justin Fields.
I don't really think it's apples to apples in that sense. I really don't think you say, okay, hey, here's what we have a Justin where he can go, or here's what these guys can go. I think it's just you're doing your due diligence with the draft as we do with every single position. But I think it's you know, as we evaluated Justin from last year, I think the growth from where, you know, everybody, in including yourselves, like how the way you viewed the guy and the way the team viewed the guy to where he was at this time last year to where he is now, I think it just is light years ahead of where it was. And we feel like he has a ton more to grow going forward. So we're excited to try to get the best out of him moving forward and keep working to where we think he can go.
I think it's pretty clear, at least from my standpoint, that if you look at last year in the roster and what Fields had to work with, the fix was in. There's a reason why that the Bears only won three games. That's because the fix was in. They were trying to get to that number one pick. And for those that evaluate Justin Fields and believe, well, you know what we saw last year, that's who he is, that's just a guess. You don't know. I don't know that Justin Fields is going to be a great quarterback either, but I know one thing. To me, it's somewhere in between. He's not as bad as we saw last year. And again, we have to look at the roster composition. He wasn't turning water into wine last year. I think that's pretty apparent. But the other side of it is, with DJ Moore, with a healthy running game, with Claypool, with something to prove, with Mooney, with Komet taking another step, and the offensive line trying to get fixed here, why can't Fields be better than we saw last year? So I think it's pretty obvious to me that what we saw last year was a quarterback that was learning on the fly, a head coach learning on the fly, offensive coordinator learning on the fly, and Justin Fields learning, in a bad season. So what did you expect it to look like?
I didn't put too much stock into the comments. I really didn't. And maybe I'm in the minority there. But when he's talking about Justin Fields being light years ahead of where he was at this time last year, he's talking about like the fundamental things. Last spring, we're talking to Justin Fields ahead of the draft during their OTAs, and he's talking about how he had to change his footwork when he drops back in the shotgun to have his left foot in front versus his right. That's the stuff he was doing last year. That's fundamental day one sort of stuff in this offense that's predicated on rhythm and timing. Of course he's light years ahead from where he was doing that last year because he ran this offense for an entire year. I don't think it's outlandish to believe that he has made a massive jump just from learning how to be a quarterback in the NFL, but to project this thing out and say it's got to be a Jalen Hurts-esque year three jump. It has to be along the lines of what Tua did last year, or even Josh Allen going from 2019 to 2020. Those comparisons where a quarterback takes especially a first-round quarterback takes the jump in year three, sets you up for the following year to know whether you're going to exercise the fifth-year option, whether you have to start looking towards the draft, or whether you're thinking this is the guy going forward. We're confident that we continue to build around him, and this offense can take not just the next step, but a lot of steps forward, that it can be an offense that's up there in the top 10 of the best offenses in the NFL. Can he get there? Yeah, but there's still a lot of unknown, which makes the conversation intriguing because we can all project. Everybody's got a different idea of what success looks like for the quarterback, not necessarily success for the entire team and a win-loss record, but gauging that on where Justin Fields was last year, wide-eyed and learning a brand-new offense with a brand-new offensive coordinator. I mean, Luke Getsy can probably say that about himself, that he's light years ahead of where he was at this time last year, because he was trying to do this for the first time, installing an offense, starting over, having to undo a lot of things that were wrong with Fields' mechanics from the last staff, from just flaws in his game that he had from college that he brought to the NFL, stuff that he's still working through, time in the pocket, time before he throws. But now that you actually got something off the ground, it doesn't seem as daunting, I'm sure, to the people in that building, because they're not having to start over with like the basic teaching tools of this offense this year. So yeah, by that stretch, they are light years ahead. Everybody in that building is light years ahead.
So I think that it comes down to the P word, and that is the word patience. If people just don't have time to be able to look at a young quarterback and say, okay, so there's going to be incremental success. You had 3 wins last year. You're running for your life because there's a really bad offensive line. You didn't have enough weapons to connect to, so you got what you deserve. You deserve the 3 victories that you had. There was a lot of close games right in the middle of the schedule. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Courtney, what I look at is, like, I listen to, you know, and watch Get Up and First Take and all the different pundits talking about Justin Fields. And it's when you hear people say, well, Justin Fields, man, that's the next dynamic quarterback. He's going to be Jalen Hurts. And it's kind of like, well, wait a second. Hold on a second. I mean, if the Bears are taking it one step at a time, why can't we? It's only because there's this penchant to be able to be first. So you got to be able to put your heart out there. Like Dan Orlovsky, for instance, where he says, for the second time, by the way, for the second offseason, saying
Justin Fields is going to be in the MVP conversation this season. Greeny, I said that last year, and everyone mocked it. Okay, so just to remind everybody at home, the Chicago Bears had the number one pick. Okay, they were terrible last year. The only reason that they were actually in games because of Justin Fields. Fast forward to this year, their general manager, Ryan Poles, has done a couple things. Number one, this offensive line has gone from weakness to potential strength. The addition of Darnell Wright, Nate Davis they brought over in free agency, Tevin Jenkins kicks inside. Number two, DJ Moore. There's finally some decent talent on the outside that he's going to have the chance to throw to. And then three, the growth that he is going to have. Everyone continues to say follow the Jalen Hurts model for the style. No. Justin Fields' season should look a lot like what Josh Allen's second season did that last half, because he finally has the right people around him to allow his talents to excel.
Now, if the Bears have 7 wins and Justin's just okay, oh, Justin sucks. See, there's no middle ground with this. This is the second offseason where Orlovsky said he's going to be in the MVP conversation. Well, you know what? As a Bears fan, that doesn't matter to me. You covering the Bears, that should not matter to you whether or not he's an MVP or not. Is the team better? If the team's better, then Justin Fields is going to get all the accolades that he deserves. But this is what I'm talking about sometimes when we get guys like Orlovsky putting the cart before the horse. Is the team right for him to even be MVP? And if it's not, well, it's not what we thought he was.
There's a difference.
And that's unfair, though.
It is unfair. And it's unfair to put him in the conversation last year. He really wasn't in the conversation. Pat, the designer, and I were talking about this on the Chicago Bears podcast yesterday. Like, there was a time, that stretch, week 7 till about 10 or 11, whichever one he got hurt in Atlanta, like there was a stretch where he looked like the MVP of this team. That's very different than league-wide MVP, where it was very clearly a Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes two-headed race there week 10 on. And I think it does Justin Fields a disservice when he's being thrown into that conversation, a conversation he's not ready to be a part of yet. Mm-hmm. And again, big difference between you being the person who's carrying this team, which he did. The offense was averaging about 29, 30 points in that stretch that you're referring to, but still it yields 3 wins total. Yes. That's not an MVP candidate, especially when the rest of the team had as many holes in it as it did. I don't engage in that conversation. I will not put him in the MVP conversation or the mix or even like 5 feet away from the conversation until this team can actually win games. That you can't be an MVP on a team that wins 3 games.
That's exactly right. But Orlovsky tried to last year, knowing that the team was disassembling from the veterans and putting in just whatever they could to get to this point with 3 wins, first round draft pick, to be able to move forward from there. So Shane, let's open the phone lines here this morning. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Courtney and I want to talk to you about Justin Fields. And are you concerned that the national media or the Bears are setting Justin Fields up for failure? Again, light years away is a mouthful. Well, again, when Getsy says that. And then from there, when you hear Orlovsky says, oh, MVP for Justin Fields. I mean, how do you see this? I think for Cordy and I, it's about incremental success step by step. As much as it'd be cool to go from three wins to the Super Bowl, that'd be awesome. It just doesn't usually work that way in the NFL. So we're talking to you about Justin Fields. You heard the conversation. What do you think? 312-332-3776. Your phone calls on this next with Courtney Cronin, Jay Hood with you, Captain Jay Hood on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We hope that you're going to have a great day. Courtney Cronin is in for Cap. Cap is off today. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Courtney and I are asking the question, are you worried that the national media is setting Fields up for failure? And again, you know what it comes to, Courtney, I know you hear this in the sports bloodstream from time to time. It'll be a fan or someone that does what we do for a living, they'll say, oh, so-and-so's great. And like for me, that's like the dog collar. You know, it's just like, what do you mean great? Great is only used for the best of the best, the one percenters. And so that'll be like a great, it'll be a really solid game for Justin. Someone will say, well, Justin's really great at blah, blah, blah. Coaches say it all the time, too. You have to be careful with that word great. There's something in the middle. There's a gray area there. He doesn't suck, and he's not going to be great just yet, but there's a middle ground for him to be able to build and learn. I think that's only fair.
We so desperately want to project success, and that's why I just Googled the term quarterback jump year three, mm-hmm. and there's 20 different results from different years, like in looking at Jalen Hurts in this past year, Tua Tagovailoa, and then the list goes on and on. We do this to ourselves every single year. This is not a new conversation, as we know. And I tend to think it's a byproduct of the offseason. You have to have something to talk about. And we are getting close enough to where the whole squad will be together during OTAs and then veteran minicamp. And people want to know, hey, how are they leaving things off before the 6 weeks pass to get to training camp? Mm-hmm. Does this offense look like it's going to be able to like start from day one of training camp and hit the ground running? Or are there holes in it? Are there areas where there still has to be a catching up process? Because if there is, that's when I think fans get nervous that things aren't going to look good this season, that there might be too much of a learning curve for the quarterback, and they just want to gauge where on the curve is Justin Fields. And when you hear the light years comment, I think some people run with that and might be putting, like, again, the national conversation about him in the MVP mix. I'm like, light years? Oh, my God, that must mean he's an MVP candidate.
No, we evaluated Justin. Yeah. From last year, I think it just is light years ahead of where it was, and we feel like he has a ton more to grow.
Oh my God, did he say light years?
And he couched it, a ton more to grow. Like, Luke Getsy is not going to set himself up for failure by saying, wow, my quarterback just made this massive jump. We should be a playoff team, light years ahead. Like, wow, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards this year. Is the team's ever had a 4,000-yard passer? No, he's not saying that. But people hear light years, and they just go, like, one direction, like, completely the wrong way with it because we haven't seen him prove that he is physically, the passing-wise, like, all that stuff. He's light years ahead there. We just have not seen that yet.
I'm looking forward to you just writing that. I think you should start writing the body of the Getsy being a head coach column. Just have it. Put it in the Getsy mm-hmm. folder on your little computer
there. I've done that for coaches before, and I've never had... Some of them I have not been able to use because they have gotten themselves fired before I've been able to. That was me putting cart before the horse by mm-hmm. starting to project out, wow, I should probably start working on this.
Because if it is true that he's light, if it is true that Justin starts to leap, Getsy will be a head coach in 2025.
I mean, there was even some idea last year that he would be the one entertaining job offers. And again, is that putting too much cart before the horse? This is the worst passing offense in the NFL? Probably. but he showed signs, just like Justin Fields showed signs of progress. And I think people just latch onto that too much and be like, oh, progress, that means that we're going to take this next jump. Like, no, patience, but patience is not a virtue.
No,
I totally
not.
Get that.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's get your thoughts in here as we go to Jerry. Is James and Gurney on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, James.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Court. How are you, young lady?
Good. How are you?
Good. So really quickly, I'm going to just put in perspective. I think, who do you even call me out unintentionally? Like, I'm thinking, wait a second. Maybe I'm even thinking, like, oh, if Justin doesn't take that next lead. So thank you for that. But having said that, I think you couched the term. You said it perfectly, Court. It's what he said before that and what he said after that that really, it's just some of them out-of-context quotes that get taken into the stratosphere that is the hot takes and the mock drafts that just drive me insane. But having said that, so I guess as I look back, take a step back and ask myself, well, what do I really want to see? Well, I guess what I want to see is that progression as far as getting the ball out of your hand, hitting that third foot, hitting that back foot in your three step, getting it out on the five step, getting it out, seeing him progress in that manner. Would I like to see him throw for 4,000 yards? Oh my God. I would like to see that, but I guess I need to even take a step back. But there's just some things, like I play quarterback my whole life. I obviously not NFL. Obviously I'm the, you know, I'm a radio professional, I think. I've been calling for 20 years now.
You are a professional. You should be in here with us.
I would love to. But having said that, it's just like, what am I? I just want him to see that make that next progression, that's getting, taking the dump offs, man, getting rid of the football, throwing people open. Now there's talent there. So I guess there's no more excuses, but I'm okay if he doesn't take that ginormous leap. But if he regresses, then we'll have to make that decision. So I appreciate you guys. Love you. And let's go.
Thank
bear
you.
Bear down.
Bear down. Thank you very much, James, for the phone call. Now, you see, James leaves line open. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. On the south side, here's Glenn on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Hoodie. Good morning, CC. How you guys doing?
Okay. Well, great. Thanks for checking in.
Appreciate you. I don't think they're setting him up to fail. Yeah, they're raising the bar. As Bear fans, we're somewhat prisoners of the moment. I get all that. But I like it better than the conversation I heard all last year. He can't throw. He's a runner. He's a halfback. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. So much more negativity. Now we're starting to see a bit more positivity, and I think that's something we can look as fans to grow along, you know, with Justin. And I kind of almost liken it. The team is not quite as established as when Derrick Rose sat at that table and said, "Why can't I be MVP?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start raising your expectations, you know, shoot for the moon, you reach the stars, that kind of deal. So I look at it as a positive. I think it's a great opportunity to watch him grow. And look, Burrow, Josh Allen, neither one of these guys have won the MVP. They've been in a conversation somewhat, but there are a lot of people who haven't won it yet, and no one's knocking them for not having won it. Justin, if he can even raise the bar to some degree, I think that's what we want to see as fans, and I'm cool with that, and I think we should be cool with that.
Well, here are the positives in that, and Glenn, we appreciate the telephone call. Courtney, you just, again, I look at this depth chart every day. It's one of the tabs I have up every day.
You open it every day?
Every day. Every day. Because we talk Bears every day.
Sure.
So you need it as a reference. Okay. When you get older, you forget names.
It's fine.
So it's in front of you.
I look at it a lot. I don't know if it's like the first thing I check in the morning.
No, it's every day. It's you know, Chicago sports and then like the depth chart.
Okay.
In case we talk Bears, which is every day.
Mm-hmm. Make sure it's the right depth chart, though, so Cap doesn't come at me say, well, you changed the depth chart. Tevin Jenkins isn't even playing on the offensive line.
Yes. I said, Cap, that's the ESPN depth chart, and that could be random.
I'm not, and to back myself, I'm not responsible for that depth chart. I have no idea who makes that.
No, because if you were responsible for it,
would have been correct.
Yes, that, and you would not list Tevin Jenkins as questionable for the season that has not started yet. Because that's what it says there. He's still questionable. You see this, right?
I do.
I mean,
I have no idea who operates that. It's not me, though.
Nate Davis is still questionable, so we don't know if he's going to play. Are you reporting that?
Was he traded via the depth chart yet, or is he still playing for Tennessee?
No, he's still there. Okay. But you're reporting that Nate Davis is questionable for game one.
I'm not reporting anything.
Right,
that's not my depth chart.
It's right here.
That's not mine.
I mean,
it's a big company, man.
You have it says here Darnell Mooney also questionable. So you're saying he won't play for game one?
Might be. One's a little bit that one I can buy into because of the ankle.
I'm just telling you, it's right here in front of me. It says that there are no St. Brown questionable for game one. EQ St. Brown, is he going to make the team? I guess that's
the
question.
Yeah. The depth chart that I use is our lads. They
me
do
too.
Some really good ones because theirs are accurate.
Yes, me too. Because they keep it up to date. It's just all these players are questionable and hurt. So I don't know what the season's going to bring. The reason why I was saying this is because when I'm looking at this depth chart, I see more positives when you have DJ Moore clearly one of the best wide receivers the Bears have ever had, and he hasn't even played a game yet for the Bears. Darnell Mooney, you're looking for another step. Chase Claypool has something to prove, I believe, because I always have in the back of my mind, boy, if the Steelers couldn't use you, what's wrong with you? So that's one thing there. And then from there, looking at the offensive line, and you're expecting good things from Darnell Wright, but again, he is a rookie. You have a veteran presence in Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones, who polls is pretty high on. So what I'm saying is that there is room for improvement. There's room for a leap. There's no question. But how big a leap? I'm not expecting the world, because I don't think it works that way in the NFL. I mean, even though someone can make an argument that the Bears could get in that last slot in the playoffs, I just don't expect that. That's not my expectation for this roster. As we take more of your phone calls coming up, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. It's funny, our buddy Glenn from the South Side just called talking about a negativity around Justin Fields. Wait until you hear from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN and what he's heard about Justin Fields through the grapevines. Oh, boy. That's coming up next with Courtney Cronin. Jay Hood with you. Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Captain Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Got news for you regarding the Bears' schedule. Some news that came across we'll tell you about momentarily. But first, we'll tell you about the White Sox. They picked up a victory over the Royals yesterday by a score of 4-2. Behind a strong start from Lucas Giolito, Tim Anderson did not play. Giolito, six innings pitched, two runs, nine strikeouts. Giolito's ERA now down to a nice 3.59. Sox and Royals tonight at 6 o'clock. We have our pregame at that time right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lost their second straight to the Cardinals 6-4. Dansby Swanson 3-for-5 with a three-run homer. And also Christopher Morel with a solo home run. Javier Assad took the loss, 5 1/3 innings of relief for Assad yesterday. And also in the NBA playoffs, Philadelphia over Boston, 115-103. Philly leads that series 3-2. It was Denver over the Phoenix Suns, 118-102. Denver leads that series 3-2. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the unnamed MMA podcast. You need more MMA, it's covered for you with Sherwood and Abdallah. Check it out, the MMA podcast. It's unnamed, right there on the ESPN Chicago app. With Courtney Cronin in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. So we have a housekeeping item for you, Courtney and I, do when it comes to the schedule. Again, the big schedule release is Thursday. But there was conjecture that was out there about whether or not the Bears would travel internationally to play. And Courtney, we come to find out that the Bears will not play an international game this season.
They will not. They're not going to Germany. Are you bummed about that?
I'm not, no.
I'm not either.
No, I'm not.
Are any Bears fans bummed about that?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Because, look, this is the time. And again, I know that you're not big on the schedule release, but you got to think about it from a fan standpoint. Where am I going this season to travel to see the Bears?
Sure.
So you plan it now, because that's a savings situation, right? If you pay for it in May, okay, then the game will be in September, October, November. At least it's paid for by the time that game comes around. See, you have to think about the finances.
I know. Look at me so arrogant over here, like, I don't care about the schedule release. Yeah. I don't care about how much it's going to cost you to get to Germany.
Why don't you care about the fan?
I do,
Cronin.
Care about the fan.
You don't. I mean, you're so
consumed.
I'm
trying not to set the fan up for, you know, false expectations.
But you're so, but you know, it's just typical. It's just vintage Cronin. Just so concerned and so absorbed about her situation, her travel, what she has to do, whether it's not she's going to wear a French braid on TV or not, all this stuff.
I mean, those are important things.
But what, like, about the fan, though?
Does the fan have to worry about the French braid, or is that just me?
Well, I've seen your Twitter. Apparently, people are concerned about it. but nonetheless, I'm just saying that you've got to just be concerned. Be concerned about the fan every once in a while. Huh?
Okay, I understand that. I just know that tomorrow when the schedule comes out and I'm going to have to, like, write about, look at this stretch, the stretch that will define the season potentially, or how, like, finding inane stats to be like, the last time the Bears played this team during this date, like, all those things don't matter. Like, it's cool to find out the schedule, and yes. I think because they do play the NFC South next year, mm-hmm. that's a great travel for everybody. So if you want some warm weather destinations, you're hoping for Tampa in, I think they're one of the road games.
Yeah.
Tampa and New Orleans, hoping for those a little bit later on in the year, where it'll be a little warmer down there than it would be up here. But mm-hmm. I never understood. I mean, first off, the source off here was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And apparently Carm won. I just saw Sylvie tweeted about it. Carm won the source off. Like, so the Bears are not going to London or to Germany. But
I mean, I'm just telling you.
Go ahead.
I thought they were going. I'm just telling you.
Did the German newspaper, did they just, was there like a, in the one who.
Bild, yeah.
How do you say it, Shay?
Bild.
Bild?
Yep.
Was there like a something literally lost in translation there?
You're looking at me.
You know these things.
No, I know. I don't speak German. I watch Hogan's Heroes, but I don't speak German. I have no idea.
The amount of buzz around, are they going to Germany? Are they not going to Germany? That's one of the bigger things that we've talked about here locally for the last week.
But it's good for Shay, though, because, okay, Patriots and Colts are in Germany. Chiefs and Dolphins also are in Germany. And for our London listeners, and we got a number of them that always check in with us, George and Matt and a few others from the UK to check in on our show, that because we're the number one afternoon show in the UK. Falcons, Jags and Bills, Ravens and Titans all in London. So the question is, Shay, did you get a text back from your wife? Will you go to Germany to check out your Patriots against the Colts?
It's inconclusive right now. She did not say no. So
she didn't say anything yet?
Is she awake?
Yeah, no, she responded with like a let's see if we can make this work type of deal.
I think you should go.
So it's not a no. We'll see.
I think you should go.
Can I quickly also make the argument in Courtney's favor that this game being in Kansas City, Bears-Chiefs, is actually better for the fan? When you think about you're going to get at least once every 4 years, probably once every 4 years, you'll get to play the Chiefs. Kansas City's an easier trip for Bears fans than Germany if you want to see Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm cool. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not traveling to see the Bears this year.
Okay.
Not. So,
why?
So, big screen TV, bathroom, all drinks.
Right, all right.
Just very comfortable on my couch.
You tell me I'm not concerned about the fans. You're concerned about you and your comfort.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And guess what? If you had your druthers, you'd be covering there too. Right on your couch. You can't tell me any different. Right?
That was the COVID season.
Yeah,
we didn't travel.
You enjoyed the hell out of that. You just hated the commentary. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You see, Cronin, I just tell truths here. It's all truth, right?
Half truths for some of them. Oh,
you enjoyed the... Tell me your favorite broadcast while you were watching the Bears.
From which one?
From
2020?
Yeah.
I was covering the Vikings at the time.
Ah.
I actually remember covering the Monday night game that the Vikings won, and they were playing the Bears at Soldier Field, and mm-hmm. that was such a rare win for them, mm-hmm. because they never win at Soldier Field, except last year and that year.
See?
I mean, but was it memorable? Yes, it was, because remember Cordarrelle Patterson had the 103-yard kickoff return? I remember talking to the special teams coordinator for the Vikings the week before about, how do you handle Cordarrelle Patterson? It's like, well, you don't kick the ball to him on kickoff, and then that happened, and then he and Mike Zimmer, were like ripping each other new ones on the sideline. Now it is more memorable. Should we go back to that?
No.
That's what you're suggesting.
No, I don't want, let's not do that. We want to keep listeners. So let's talk a little bit about Jeremy Fowler. Let's talk about that.
What do you say now?
So we heard from Glenn, right? He goes, I don't like the negativity around Justin Fields. Let us paraphrase what was said about Jeremy Fowler on Justin Fields. He said that he talked to some scouts, and they didn't think that he'd be a good thrower down the field. And we've heard that from several places, by the way, of like Justin Fields' his inability to get the ball down the field. And here's the thing. If you base it on last year, then maybe you are right. But then again, look at the offensive line and the weapons that he did not have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we remove excuses when you add on talent like a DJ Moore. This will tell a greater story than we could ever tell or ever write about Justin Fields now that he has DJ Moore at his arsenal. Fair?
100%. having defined roles for your receivers and an actual receiving core that isn't made up of a bunch of guys who can play in the slot and are being forced to play elsewhere, that's light years ahead, that group. If we're going to use that phrase from this morning, that group is light years ahead of where it was at this time last year. And having a legitimate number one receiver that you pointed out perfectly, he's the best receiver that the Bears have ever had, and he hasn't taken a snap yet.
Weird.
That's very strange. Yeah. All of those things will play into Justin Fields being comfortable in throwing to a spot and throwing guys open and all those terms that you hear he did really well in college. You can try now to replicate that because he didn't have that last year. It's like when there's skepticism about him as a passer, that's the phrase that Jeremy Fowler used. Just found the article that, you know, there's skepticism that remains. Of course there is, because you got to see him do it. Is that the wrong thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, it is fair that maybe you could question Justin Fields and his inability to go down the field. But again, that's just based on, you have to put in perspective what was on the field for him to work
with. Of course.
Now, again, the excuse is every step that Poles takes to try to give him talent, offensive line, and wide receivers and weapons, now you will remove the excuses. Like, last year was set up for failure. This year, you're setting up to get better. Success? That's a big word. Success? But to get better, I could see that happening.
Well, success within getting better.
Fair.
In the context of it, everything has a scale of success. Success doesn't have to look like going from worst to first. Success, as you and I have talked about, can look like going from 3 wins to 7 or 8 wins. And that's go back to what Giannis said a few weeks ago about how people define success and failure. And while I think he gets a pass in saying what he did because he won a championship 2 years ago. He's a likable personality. Like, if John Morant's going and saying that after they lose to the Lakers, everybody's looking at him saying, you're an idiot. But right. What Giannis talked about in there was that he called it stepstones, like taking, you know, taking steps to get better, taking steps to show progress and improvement. But people don't want to just look at that because close up, it doesn't look like a lot in the moment. Over a stretch of time, you can absolutely tell where a player got better, where they got worse. What you don't want to see is the steps backward, any regression. And that's how you judge success for Justin Fields. I think just from a holistic standpoint, did he take the steps forward? Did he eliminate taking any steps back? Did he regress anywhere? Because if he did, then that's a problem.
Yes.
But even last year, when things, like the offense, like injuries and everything else, injuries to himself, at that point, he wasn't taking any steps backwards. Like, even when things looked bleak after the Atlanta game, it wasn't like, wow, the offense completely fell off a cliff. I mean, it was still where it was. One of the worst passing offenses in the NFL. But I don't think in those moments you can say, yeah, Fields looks a lot worse than he did earlier in the year. I think he actually looked better game by game. And that's incremental improvement, which is just not fast enough for most people.
We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. But coming up next, a wild animal story that you got to hear. That's coming up next with Courtney Cronin, Jay Hood with you, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJ Hood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're here until 10, and then Black and Abdallah will come in for crosstalk from 10 to noon. They're in for Greeny. Carmen and Yurko, 12 to 2. Robbie Gold and Sylvie, right? We love Robbie Gold. From 2 to 6, right into the White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Royals. A 6 o'clock start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Now time for a crazy animal story. Let's get to that animal story here. Shane Norrie's always got
Lions,
something.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal stories on Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
It's time for Animal Story with nephew Shay Norling. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning. We have two snake stories today.
Two snake stories. Is it about radio?
No, it's not about radio.
Okay. Just
unfortunately.
Okay. you worked for several. So have I.
All right. Yes, it's true.
Go ahead.
Snake sucked up in vacuum cleaner by couple at Australian resort.
Mm-hmm.
A snake wandered into a room at a Queensland resort. And so this couple, husband and wife, were trying to protect themselves from this snake, which apparently was very dangerous and venomous. And they got it to suck up in the tube of a vacuum cleaner.
Okay, so I'm clear. Is there a home or a hotel?
Hotel. It's a resort.
Okay. So in these resorts, there are cleaning. You can vacuum your own spot then, not like a Swiffer.
Yeah, it's one of those big suite things, you know, where you got the multi-bedroom maybe and the kitchen suite and all that stuff.
I've never heard of. I mean, I'm more hung up on the fact that there's a vacuum in a hotel suite.
Well, that's what I was wondering. But he said it's obviously a luxurious suite that you can have your own Hoover. That's pretty cool, right?
What's the one that does the automatic cleaning? You just let it go.
The Roomba.
The Roomba.
That's what I would want in a luxurious hotel suite. Where did you say it was? Keeneland?
Queensland, Australia.
Queensland? Okay.
So a snake got caught up in there, and so did they have? What did they do to get the snake out of the vacuum?
Why would you want to get it out of the vacuum?
They had to call a resort worker. So what they did was they got it into the vacuum, and then they put a big plastic garbage bag over the tube of the vacuum so that the snake couldn't crawl out. So it said they had to get this hotel worker, this Godfrey, he's a pest control guy, Drew Godfrey of Hervey Bay Snake Catchers, came out.
Well, hold on, stop right there. What's the guy's name?
Drew Godfrey of Hervey Bay Snake Catchers.
Hervey Bay Snake Catchers. That sounds reputable. Sure. Why not? Drew,
listen, that's who you call when you got to catch a snake.
All right.
So he came out, and it says he was surprised to see the snake in the vacuum cleaner on the porch with a plastic bag around its nozzle to prevent the snake's escape. He opened the vacuum cleaner, removed the extractor bag, where the snake was just a little dusty and confused.
Well, there you go. That's a great way. That's a great way to end the story. So,
can you imagine leaving it in the canister and you see it coiled up in there? Disgusting.
So I would do, just for the entertainment value. It's you want to be in my vacuum cleaner? How about, and the snake's moving around. Oh, God! And then he comes out drunk. That would be awesome, man. It's dizzy. You say dazed and confused, right? Right, Shay? Pretty much? The snake and dusty, you said.
Well, I mean, put yourself in the snake's shoes. You're just chilling, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're up into some tube. You don't even know what's going on.
You know that's a funny line, right?
Put yourself in the snake's shoes.
That's what's going to happen.
Put yourself in the snake's shoes. That's outstanding. He likes his Nikes. I understand from that snake. All right, so there's another story involving a snake here on Animal Stories. Now, what else is there?
Yeah, what's worse, finding a snake in your hotel room or finding a community of snakes living in the walls of the home you just purchased?
Oh, no. What happened there?
That one's yours. You can leave the hotel.
Yeah, this was in Centennial, Colorado, which is just outside of Denver. Amber Hall just purchased a new home, and she found 10 snakes living in the walls of her garage. She told Denver 7 she discovered the unwelcome visitors slithering up the wall when she caught her dog staring at the back wall of her garage. She found the first snake coiled up next to the door in a crevice, and when she put her hand on the wall above, she could feel the warmth, which she believed emanated from more snakes. She said the kids are afraid to sleep in their beds. They're afraid to go to the restroom because they think snakes might come out of the toilets. So she had to get this taken care of. She spent over $1,000 to hire a snake wrangler to humanely remove the snakes from the house. The guy told her, based on the size, they had probably been living there for 2 years.
Wow. In the walls of the garage, you said.
Yeah.
That's where the mice probably are, right?
Oh, my God.
I think this reminds me of when I lived in the South, and sometimes you'd have roaches. Even if you were clean,
yeah.
They just live down there. And the only solution I could come to think of was when you see a roach, you have to burn the house down. So this lady, that's the only solution to make sure the snakes will never come back. And I know we're talking about humane. I don't need PETA coming after me saying you're lighting snakes on fire. But
why would PETA bread come after you?
I don't know. Shay was talking about having them humanely remove these snakes. Like, no, you're in my house. You're an intruder. I will get you out however I see fit, whether it's humane or not.
Okay, so you say that about roaches. So do you feel the same way about snakes, too? You'd burn the house down?
I'd burn the house down.
Okay, just burn it down.
That's the only way I would feel good about living there is if I burn it to the ground and build a new one. And you know what? I'm getting the money to do it by suing the home inspector. Because
how the hell
do you miss a family of snakes living in my walls?
Oh, my God, man. That is horrifying, but thank God for the dog, because the human didn't figure that out. So the dog's like, you know, hey Amber, there's something weird here in the walls. What do you mean, doggy? You're so cute. Nope, I'm feeling something here. Something feels a little slithery. Ah, Amber, I think you should call somebody. I'm just telling you. I don't know why the dog's a cat, but I think that the dog has become cat somehow. They're just like, I'm just telling you.
Yoshi's in the garage having a smoke.
I don't know what's going on, but there's snakes here. There's no snakes. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. It's so cute. Oh, my God, there are snakes here. You were right. I was just telling you. You won't listen to me. And so the dog is actually the hero in that spot, right?
Can you imagine, like, that's nightmare fuel, just standing in my garage with my dog and then realizing it's staring at the snake slithering up my wall. Courtney almost threw up.
Yeah.
She just pulled what's the guy's name for Golden State? Had to swallow, was it Gary Payton III?
Yes.
Had to swallow his vomit? Courtney just did that.
I don't do reptiles.
That's great work.
I don't do amphibians, reptiles, anything that crawls, anything with multiple legs, except it's not a dog. Or, you know, a normal animal. I don't do it. That's disgusting.
That is amazing.
Light the thing on fire.
It's just everything. It's a pyromaniac. It just light everything on fire.
I wouldn't do it in my condo building because I don't want to ruin other people's, like, homes. But a single family home that has a snake infestation.
Yes.
Burn it down.
Okay.
There's got to be like eggs and stuff in there that have been missed too, even when you remove the snake.
You got to take the current problem and then the future problem.
Yes.
Because you know all those snakes in the walls, they had a lot of time.
Yes.
There's lots of babies in there.
Ugh, baby snakes. So there's more. Once
they become adult snakes.
The adult snakes. And then they're going to take over, and then they take over the remote.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take over your kitchen. Then they start eating your food. You can't have that.
It's an infestation.
There'd be no room for the dog then.
Snake would eat the dog.
I think that's the case, too. Shot or no shot in 2 minutes right here on Cap and J-Hood.